Good afternoon. Is one bell of the afternoon watch on the magical Isle of Vashon, but where your Captain Joe is broadcasting from today on Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band and voiceofvashon.org, streaming live, unscripted and unrehearsed, all over the world from Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. Washington, D.C., where the cherry blossoms are about to pop out for the Cherry Blossom Festival. And I am broadcasting to you live from the Army-Navy Club in Farragut Square, of which I have been a member for many years. The Army-Navy Club was founded in 1885, and it has been since then a part clubhouse, part museum, part library, part captain's cabin and berth deck with a hotel part. I'm staying in one of the hotel rooms, and it includes a four-poster bed that is up on some sort of stands. And fortunately, I am not on the binnacle list, and therefore I can hike myself up into this rack and be very comfortable. But if this had been 4 or 5 weeks ago when I was on the binnacle list, I probably would have been sacked out on the deck. In any case, the reason that I'm here is I came to see some much-loved friends from my command days in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and then to have a couple of meal meetings that I'm hosting here in the club. And I have, because I live outside of the immediate Washington, D.C. area, I am considered to be a regular non-resident member. And so I enjoy the club enormously whenever I'm in the Washington, D.C. area, and I'm delighted to be able to use it and to share it with people that are interested in military history or who want to talk to me about the things about which we're going to talk. The binnacle list today is not a good one, in the sense that two people with whom I share both a working relationship and a relationship of friendship, John, who is one of the administrators on the Coast Guard Channel, and Captain O'Brien. I just talked to Captain O'Brien on the phone. In fact, he's working the board for me right now. And things are not moving in a smart and seaman-like fashion for the two of them. And so it is for me now to say that all of Captain Joe's people who are on the binnacle list, the sick list, are in the palm of my hand and are being sent signals, strengthening messages, so that whatever medical intervention you are undergoing, please follow the instructions that you are given. And if you feel that you're not making any seeming-like progress, then maybe it's time to seek out some other opinions. Maybe that's the case, Captain O'Brien. One of the reasons that I came on this particular trip was to spend some time with a family that was with me in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. They now live in Virginia, not too far from Dulles Airport, airline code IAD. And I was able to spend a couple of days with them, and it was a wonderful visit because we were able to bring ourselves forward. How many years? Since 1978, 1979. subtract that, and that'll tell you how many years. The children were indeed children when we were all together, when we were serving together. And now they have their own children, and they have their own grandchildren. Isn't that a kick in the butt? So as I drove up for the first visit to the home of one of the children, now a grandmother herself, it was dark and it was rainy, and I did not clear the area around my motor car all that well, and I knocked over a light post. Now, I have been driving ships all over the world with no tugs, no docking pilots, and have put them into places where there were only a few feet forward and a few feet aft with no tugs and no docking pilots. One would think that I would know how to do that with a motor car, and one would certainly be right in thinking that, and unfortunately I did not clear the area, and so lying on the ground is a lamppost which yet remains to be re-erected. But on my departure, as soon as I got to the Army and Navy Club, which is where I'm staying right now, I had a signal from the family. And it was not very long after I departed that a very large tree fell over onto the house, narrowly missing at least one of the occupants. I am taking full responsibility for having knocked over the black lamppost, for not having cleared the area with my motor car before I backed down the driveway and hit it and knocked it over. I am not accepting responsibility for the large tree that has now fallen on the house, and it is my only hope that the homeowner's insurance, which covers that home, comes from USAA, a much respected organization of which I've been a member for more years than I like to count. I tell you all of this because whenever I tell a story about some of my visits with people with whom I have served and who have come back into my life in what is arguably the second half of my life, then I also use that as a metaphor for encouraging any of Captain Joe's people who have people in their lives that they would like, with whom they would like to reconnect. Every one of those reconnections is, for me anyway, has been a happy occasion, and they certainly could be if you have people in your lives that you would like to see again. And many of Captain Joe's people are, of course, in the second half of their lives. It is not given to us to know the day, nor the hour, nor the time. And so we may want to, as I am doing, go and see these people, and especially people who, for one reason or another, either cannot or will not travel and are not able to come to you. I'm finding this to be an incredibly enriching part of this second half of my life. And the fact that I knocked over a lamppost, I'm counting that as a small price to pay, and recognizing that I had nothing to do with the tree that fell on the house. So thanks to this family, thanks to the reconnections, thanks to the good things that have happened in this family over the years where there were some really rocky rocks and shoals, and from which they have recovered, members have recovered, and are now moving forward in a smart and seaman-like fashion. I did a little bit of an evaluation of what I'm doing with this broadcast, and I came to realize that many of the pieces that I talk about have to do with areas where I think the organization that I'm talking about at the time has overcomplicated its life, and I use my own personal experiences to try to bring them back onto a course of simplicity, of returning to basics, of good seamanship. And it will be no surprise for you all to hear this, the principles of being true shipmates, he or she who puts his mates and his ship before himself. And if we all follow all of those things, carry out the mission, take care of the people that are entrusted to us to carry out that mission, the good general makes sure that his men and horses are fit before himself. And then the final captain's corollary, of course, the captain shall show no fear. And if we get back to those basics, we learn how to march on the grinder at Cape May. We learn how to hand, reef, and steer in Eagle at the Academy and at Officer Candidate School. Then all of these other things will, and on this do you have my hand, fall into place. So here are a couple that fit right into that. And then I'm going to talk about Paris and a couple things about Paris. So here's one about the Marine Corps. Now, I have incredible respect and affection for the Marine Corps. I have a couple of Marines in my immediate family. I have a great uncle who held the Navy Cross, was a Colonel of Marines. And all of my dealings with the people in the Marine Corps in my own career have been of the most respectful and professionally competent. But here they are, the Marine Corps, the people that stormed the beaches, the people who were of such great concern to our Medal of Honor winner, Doug Monroe, the ones who are in the landing craft, which we probably will man again sometime, Coast Guard coxswains manning the landing craft. So the Marines are working on a number of landing craft. And in order to test some of this out, they have chartered a boat which has been used around the oil rigs. And it's called Resolution. It makes 8 knots, but in the discretion of Resolution, the person describing this, who is not a sworn Marine, but a civilian working with the Marines on this, says this boat can go at 8 knots, but it can sail at 14, depending on tides and currents. Well, Bonzo, what that means is that it can make 14 over the ground if it is going with the current, if it's going with the tidal current, if the wind is behind it, but it's powered to go at 8 knots. You can't fool me. I know what that means, depending on tides and currents. And I just don't get this. It just seems to me that we have had very successful landing craft over the years, and then we don't need to charter at great expense a boat from the oil rig business called Resolution that can go at 14 knots if it has the wind and the currents and everything behind it. At the same time, the Marines are asking the Navy to come up with a vessel that they're calling an LCU, Landing Craft Utility. And doggone it, if this thing doesn't look just like or almost exactly like an LST from World War II. There are some things that are as good now as they were then. For Paris. Paris is, of course, one of my favorite cities in the entire world. And a piece came to me the other day that said that it listed the 6 underrated museums in Paris, one of which is the Rodin Museum, the museum that is dedicated to the works of the sculptor Rodin. The Rodin sculpture, The Thinker, is one of the great classic pieces in modern sculpture. So I went through this list because I have been to almost every of the Paris museums that are on any list, and I've been to a couple that are not on anybody's list except your captains, and one of those is the Sewer Museum. If you go to Pont d'Alma and you look very carefully, you'll find a kiosk which says this is the access to the Sewer Museum, which is down underneath. And the part of the Paris sewers that if you are familiar with Victor Hugo's stories, you'll know that he had preoccupation with the Paris sewers. And there is now a great museum, and I took Mary R. down there. I must tell you that she was not as enthusiastic about it as I was. I thought that it was just an incredibly interesting, relatively odor-free, and incredibly well put together. And so if you go to Paris, if you're going to Paris this year for the Olympics, I recommend that you don't go to Paris either before. Actually, I recommend that you go to Paris after. If I go this year, it will be sometime after the Paris Olympics. But I do recommend that you go to the Sewer Museum, and you get to it by going to Pont d'Alma and then finding the kiosk that is the entrance to it. The next thing that is happening in Paris is that the St. Martin's Canal is a part of the River Seine system, and the Parisian authorities decided that they would drain it and do some cleaning. These ancient canals all over Europe are coming to the point now where, and this is also true in Amsterdam, where they need to be drained and cleaned, and of course they're finding all sorts of things down in the bottom. And one of the things that they're finding in the bottom of the St. Martin's Canal are, I think, literally hundreds of old bicycles. So far, no corpses, or at least none which have been reported. But so whenever they drain these canals, when I was in Amsterdam a few months ago, they were working on a couple of the other very old canals. From an engineering point of view, and I was educated as an engineer, even though I ended up being a sailor, I was educated as an engineer, and from an engineer's point of view, the work in these ancient canals is incredibly fascinating. It's worth going to watch if you go to any of the cities that has canals and that they're doing that work. And my final note about Paris is the much-loved Cathedral of Notre Dame. You all will remember that it had a fire, and I believe that was as far back as 2015. Anyway, we all know that it had a terrible fire and that the French government, and in particular the Paris government, said that Notre Dame would be returned to its former splendor and that the work would continue until that had been achieved. And in fact, there's an announcement now from the organization which has been assembled by the French government and by the government of the city of Paris that Notre Dame will be open by the end of 2024, the end of this year, maybe in time for the Christmas celebration. There are about 1,000 people that are working on it now, and the restoration work is being done to restore the cathedral to the way that it was for the over 1,000 years of its existence, but using materials which are going to last and last and last. So those are my things to look for in Paris, and if I do go this year, and I am considering it, after the Olympics, so that would be in the autumn. I will do a broadcast from there, and I will report on, and maybe I'll even do a broadcast from the underneath down in the sewer museum. There is a ship by the name of Burge Olympus. And Burge Olympus has a sail arrangement. And these are rigid sails. And my question in looking at the photograph of her was, do these sails fold down? Do the masts on which they are erected fold down? They look like big wind wings. We've talked about sail power and sail augmentation of regular diesel or propane or whatever type of engines the ship happens to have. We've talked about that, and we'll talk about it some more on this program because it's a subject of great interest to me. I don't see how anyone can improve upon, so far as sail power is concerned, our own Eagle. But the fact is that people keep trying, and so Burge Olympus, look her up on Marine Traffic and see what she is up to, and you'll get a photograph of her, and you'll see these enormous wind wings. The Washington State Ferries, one of my bete noirs, has just announced the appointment of a new director. I look for immediate and dramatic improvement in the entire system with this gentleman because he does appear to have some nautical experience. He is a present employee of the ferry system, and he is a present senior employee of the ferry system, which says that he has a pretty good feel for not only the operational side of it, but also the political side of it and the public relations side of it and all of the other things that go with the Washington State Ferries. It is my hope and desire, and it would be my command if I were in a position to command anything with the Washington State Ferries, that this, along with a couple of other organizations that we have discussed herein, go back to basics, go back to essentially zero out, at least on paper, as a paper exercise, their operations, and look for every place where the organization has allowed itself to get into the political and operational and public affairs parts of their work, which are beyond simplicity, beyond basics. I think they will find that there are a number of places where both economies of time, economies of training, and economies of equipment could be brought into play immediately. And one of the things that I would look for, were I able to command this particular operation, would be all of those ships that are laid up in Eagle Harbor, that to see what is needed in order to get them back to where they are about their father's business, which is carrying all of us who live on the magical isle of Vashon back and forth between our island home and the mainland. I look for great things for this gentleman, and will be reporting here on as all of this, no doubt, continues to improve. I talked last time about the Suez Canal. It turns out that the amount of trade through the Suez Canal is half of what it was by average for the last year. And ships are going all the way around the Cape of Good Hope, down around the south of Africa. 10 days extra. The costs of all of the goods that are being carried in those ships are certainly going to go up. Speaking of goods that are being carried in ships here at the Army Navy Club, was in the head, there was a collection of little boxes from a company called Gilchrist and Soames, And the little box says established in London. And inside these box, these boxes are things like a shower cap and a thing that ladies use to put something on their face should they feel that they need to put something on their face. And so I looked at this box and I said, wonderful, the Army Navy Club is returning us back to the really good things of life, little good things of life that come from places like Gilchrist and Soames in London. I turned the box over, down at the bottom, in very small type, made in China. So it came to us probably in a container that came from China and shipped to us in some way. I think I'm going to mention all of that in my comment slip. The USS District of Columbia, a SSBN, the lead ship in the Columbia class. Here we are talking about another delay in the delivery of a vital piece of our nuclear triad. The Columbia class SSBN, the boomers, are to replace on a one-for-one the ships in the Ohio class. And now the Navy is talking about an Ohio-class life extension program. That's what our own Polar Star is going through to keep her going. In the meantime, the Navy is announcing, rather than solving their recruiting problem, the Navy is announcing that they are going to cut back almost 15,000 sailors in the budget that is being debated right this very minute. Which leads me to a quick point about the Coast Guard and the Coast Guard being way behind in its being able to get enough people to do the work. And so here, Commandant Fagan, is your captain's repeated recommendation as to how to deal with this. All of the ships in the fleet that are out working and carrying out their father's business are doing wonderful work. We just got a photograph of the Coast Guard cutter Bertolf, the lead ship in the National Security class. And she is working for 7th Fleet. Right now she's out in the Straits of Singapore. And these ships are doing great work. The fast response cutters are working all over the world. They are wonderful lieutenant commands, first commands for young lieutenants. And now is the time for the commandant to say, it is time for us to take a look at every single operation, every single staff element, every single person who is involved with diversity and all this other stuff. Because in there, there are surely people that can go back to sea and make sure that every single ship that has a mission is able to be fully manned and to carry out that mission. I've come now, once again, to the end of my time together. I believe that I'm about to hear Semper Paratus, so this is your Captain Joe. As always, I am on station and watching properly. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And this time when we meet again, we'll meet again from the magical Isle of Vashon, and I will be up in the captain's chair in my regular place at my regular time. And on this, do all of you have my hand.